the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hi again, everybody. Bill Cloud here, and welcome to our Torah tidbit. This time, it's taken from the Torah portion called Vayira, which is the Hebrew phrase that means, "and he appeared." The he in this phrase, of course, is the Lord, who appeared to Abraham before he was to send angels to destroy Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other cities of the plain. And so then the portion begins for us by saying in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 1 and 2, "And the Lord appeared," Vayera, "and the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day." That is, Abraham sat in the tent door. "And he lifted up his eyes, and look, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed toward the ground." Now, first of all, I think that we should mention that there are other times in the Scripture, several other occasions, in fact, when God appeared to Abraham. And so what makes this time so important or noteworthy? Well, I believe it's because that on this occasion, we see the heart of a kind and a very considerate man, one who puts others before himself. And as you continue to read the text, you see that Abraham entreated these three men to stay and for them to be refreshed with food and drink. And so he saw to that. And so we see that Abraham, among other things, was a beneficent man. He was a congenial host. And in a word, he was a servant. And traditionally now, this event recorded in this portion, that's what we're reading about now, began on the third day after Abraham and his entire household were circumcised. Now, why bring that out? Well, the point would be this. Even as he is enduring the pain of recovering from this circumcision, he still places the needs of others, even strangers, before himself. This is a trait that all of Abraham's seed for all time are to emulate. In fact, the Creator told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 10, "Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." So these men, unbeknownst to him, are angels, but he sees them as strangers. And as he gives them food, and you continue to read the story, as they ate, Abraham didn't join them, but he stood aside, standing ready to attend to all of their needs. Now, to add some context here, Abraham was a fairly wealthy man who had servants of his own. He could have easily delegated this task to those servants, but Abraham, being the kind of man he was, saw to it himself. And this is one of the many instances in Scripture that we see, if you wish to be a leader, you must first be willing to serve. As believers, we need to take this to heart because the Messiah himself set the example for this on the eve of his crucifixion. After washing his disciples' feet, he said this to them in John 13. "You call me the teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If then I, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Neither is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So then, I believe that Abraham serves as a primary example of what Messiah calls for his disciples to be, a servant, someone willing to humble themselves. And even though others considered him as their master, that is Abraham, he nevertheless humbled himself and became a servant, which is exactly what Yeshua did, albeit on a much grander scale. Now, if we do this, if we follow this example, Messiah said we would be blessed. In other words, there is a benefit to humbling ourselves in this manner. Perhaps one benefit to having a servant's heart is knowing for a certainty that our master's heart will be inclined to hear us when we call out to Him with a prayer or with a request. It certainly appears to have been that way where Abraham was concerned, because he would later ask a request of the Lord. Now, in sharp contrast to Abraham's kindness and generosity, there is the terrible example that is set by the inhabitants of Sodom and the other cities of the plain, these places these angels are soon to go to. Not only did these inhabitants engage in debauchery and other activities that birthed the word sodomy, for instance, but they also, perhaps even more importantly, neglected strangers and those in need. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God said this in chapter 16, "Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom, pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Nor did she strengthen the hand of the poor, and needy, and they were haughty and did abominable things before me. So I took them away as I saw fit." So we know that there are certain things associated with Sodom and Gomorrah, but apparently they desired to maintain their own prosperity and accepted only those who were also considered to be prosperous, even more so than these other things. To put this in perspective, as wicked as cultures like Egypt, Babylon, and Canaan were, and even though God dealt with each of those cultures in His way, when it came to their destruction and their judgment, by and large, their cities were still standing. Not so with the five cities of the plain. They were completely overturned, and the region that they stood in is still, to this day, uninhabitable. And God's greatest complaint against them, it was their lack of regard for their fellow man. Not those things that we would assume that it would be. And we're not saying that God was okay with those things. We're just saying that the others preceded that as far as God was concerned. As a matter of fact, there is reason to believe that the perverse acts that are associated with Sodom were a byproduct of their disdain for the stranger. In short, their greed and self-indulgence is probably what fostered the other despicable behavior associated with Sodom. And these three men that were being entertained by Abraham were, in reality, three angels sent by God to destroy those places and to eradicate their wickedness. But notice what the text says beginning in verse 16 of Genesis 18. "And the men rose up from there, and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham was going with them to bring them on the way." Now, I want you to really pay special attention to this. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" And so I wanted to emphasize that because it would seem that by this statement, God considered His servant, Abraham, before carrying out His intentions where Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other cities of the plain were concerned. And I'm going to suggest to you that it might be due to the fact that Abraham was a servant. It is also stated in the text that the Lord knew that Abraham would teach his children and he would teach his household righteousness, justice, and the way of the Lord. And so God concluded that He would not keep His intentions from Abraham. And once He told Abraham what He intended to do to those cities, for the rest of chapter 18, we see Abraham once again being kind, being considerate, and interceding for the people in those cities. He spent the rest of this chapter appealing to God's compassion and mercy, because apparently Abraham did not take any pleasure in the pending destruction of the wicked. And that only makes sense because Abraham had the heart of a servant. It only makes sense that he would feel that way because that is the heart of the Creator as well. And so, as those who are regarded as Abraham's seed, that is, those who are Messiahs, we too should embrace the notion that we are called to think and to feel and to act as Abraham did, to be kind, considerate, generous, hospitable, to all of those that God brings into our life. Because you never know. On some future time, you you might find yourself entertaining angels. And so then we should have a tender heart for those who are less fortunate than we are, and we should be kind to the stranger. We should show compassion, even for those who walk contrary to our beliefs, not condoning or approving, but being merciful, because our Father in heaven is. And finally, and this is really the summary of everything I just mentioned, we need to have the heart of a servant, especially if we are to be considered for leadership. Abraham, I believe, probably more so than anybody other than the Messiah, should certainly be considered a leader. But because he was a leader, that means he was first a servant. And so as we close this Torah tidbit, we too need to learn to humble ourselves. We need to submit to God's purposes, His will, and learn what His heart is about and take those things and embrace those things and make them part of what is in our heart. We should learn to serve first, then lead. And with that, we'll leave you this time. I look forward to seeing you on our next Torah Tidbit. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.